brownies, tarts, and cakes and bakes. Bakeries that know the way to make the real kind of cookies and crazy macarons. Don't you know it's such a sweet life with these pastries?
Today, I'm chatting with some of Bombay's most well-known dessert divas. If you have a sweet tooth, you've probably indulged in one or all of their sugary creations. After much research and asking around, these three names stuck out for being unique, kinda sorta pioneers in their field, and definitely, definitely popular. Kainaz Mesmin Harchandrai of Theobroma, Pooja Dhingra of Le 15 Patisserie, and Neha Sethi of Swedish House Mafia. Yes, I'm not denying that good marketing, great PR, and publicity help them get to and stay at the top, but there's also no doubt that their talent and gumption is what earned them the spot in the first place as Bombay's delectable dessert divas. So, what's in a name? Well, all their brand names were definitely chosen after much thought and have interesting stories behind them. Theobroma and Le 15 Patisserie have interesting stories behind the origin of their names. Here's Kainaz telling us how it all began for her.
So the name has a bit of a story. My sister is a chartered accountant and she was auditing under this guy called Michael Dan. They were auditing a cocoa plantation. She just happened to mention to him that her sister is starting a bakery. And he was writing something and without looking up, he says Theobroma. And she was like, excuse me. And he was like, Theobroma, that's what she should call it because that's the name of a cocoa tree. The botanical name of the cocoa tree is Theobroma Cacao. Tina calls me up and she was like, do you want to name your bakery Theobroma? And I'm like, yes, right away, because obviously I had studied about it and it meant chocolate. And I know we don't do only chocolate, but it's something that everybody loves. And Theobroma is born out of that premise. I wanted to create something that everybody loves. As many people as possible should be able to eat dessert. They should definitely at least be able to try. And there was nothing outside the five-star hotels in this category. There were the low-end bakeries, like you said, or old classical bakeries that made, you know, the local pav or the local brun, but never things that were available only in the five stars. We wanted to bring the things that were available in the five stars at that time out onto the high street.
Pooja Dhingra has an even more romantic story to share about why she chose the name Le 15 Patisserie and how it became Le 15.
That Le 15 has become Le 15 many times, so it's not always easy. Yeah, they're always like, you know, the boys from the outside the office, they're like, hey, Le 15 ka office idhar hai. So it took some while, you know, took a while for Le 15 to be what it is. But so it was actually, you know, I remember this moment very clearly because I was in Paris. It was my first week there. Someone asked me if I'd eaten a macaron. I said no. And they were like, how could you? You know, you're in culinary school in Paris and you don't know what a macaron is. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna go fix this. And I went to Pierre Hermé the next day. I stood in line, I walked in and I was just like, oh my god, what is this? It's so beautiful, so colorful. And bought a passion fruit macaron because that's what I was supposed to buy. And I come out and it was like a windy day in Paris and I just like, you know, I remember so clearly I bit into it and I was just like, oh my god, what is this? Because it was sweet and it was acidic and it was this balance and it was crunchy and I was just like, why haven't I had this before? So, you know, the seed of that started then. Like, what am I going to do when I go back home? So, and I was in the 15th around this moment when all of this happened. So, yeah, that's the name, yeah.
My colleague and producer of this podcast, Joshua, spoke to Neha Sethi about how she began her cutely named brand, Swedish House Mafia, a moniker that Neha's brother-in-law suggested in passing, and it stuck, marking the unique startup as something funky, something unusual, and definitely something trendy. But it was no passing fad, not with the brand going strong, even after 4 years.
first of all, I didn't understand why there was no one doing this. It just didn't make sense because cookies are really popular in the States. Cupcakes came from the States. Don't like your brownies came from the States. So why hadn't cookies made that transition to India? So
Everyone's used to it, right?
So those aren't even cookies. They're biscuits. But hide and seek says hide and seek cookies, and I'm like, no, those are not cookies. Those are biscuits. They're like they're crunchy and they have a shelf life of like six or nine months. That's ridiculous. That's not a cookie. So I couldn't understand why there was no cookie shop in the market. So I said, this can't really be that difficult. There's just no logical sense behind this. So when the Nano started, it was pretty straightforward from home to send the cookies out. It was, you know, we used to bake for 5-6 hours at home and then send 150, 200 cookies to XYZ location, and they used to go. So luckily for me, I had a year to year and a half of market research, because the cookies did well. A lot of people used to communicate with me on Twitter and Facebook saying, great cookies, when are you coming here, there, when are you coming to Lower Pearl, when are you coming to Breach Candy, etc., etc. There used to be queues. There used to be good feedback. Queue was waiting for the Nano. And then as soon as the Nano came, the queue would like form up and like people would be rushing. At one point, I believe there was a stampede and it was really bad. Yeah, it was. I remember this very distinctly. It was in the monsoon of 2013. And I wasn't going to do a delivery because it was really raining a lot. And then some people like, no, do. And then I was like, okay, you know what? For like this today, it was a Friday. I said, okay, today I'm going to do a 10 p.m. delivery at Carter. And usually mine was like Bandra was 6-ish. We used to do a delivery. Most places it was a 6 p.m. delivery. But that day I was like, okay, you know what? I'll do a 10 p.m. delivery because the rain seems to have eased up, etc., etc. I honestly did not think there were going to be like any people. So I sent even less cookies than usual. And there were like 3 times the number of people than usual. There were apparently like some 200 or 300 people there. It was ridiculous. And I got some messages on Twitter like, you know, there are kids over there, you know, maybe you should be careful about next time. I didn't do anything, like this isn't my doing, I'm not even there. Some people were like, some people were complaining, you should have it better organized. And I'm thinking in my head, I said, I did not organize anything. I just sent a car. You should organize yourselves. It was chaotic. My staff came home and he was like, Bhabhi ji, like, he was in tears. He said, there were so many people, they just surrounded the car. I just sat in the car and I didn't even open the car. He said, everyone surrounded the car. And he got so overwhelmed. And at one point, that same night, okay, he's like, some celebrity came in their car and some bodyguards came out and he just put his hand inside the car and inside the Nano and he took out some 10-12 packets and gave me $1,000. And I was like, what? He said, huh? Kuch count bhi nahi kiya. Aise hi lekar chal diya. I said, then what happened? I don't know what. We don't know who it was, which celebrity it was. And then my fellow was like, but this is not even enough money for the number of cookies you've taken. I said, I can't believe you asked for more money. This is ridiculous and all this chaos.
We asked them about their respective challenges and they were only too happy to recount their individual journeys. Starting with Pooja. Coming back to that, it was 2009 and you were really, really young. So you're like fresh from you know, graduating from pastry school and you've got your cordon bleu experience and you've interned at the chocolate shop and also been in Paris in the heart of, you know, culinary excellence according to the world. But when you come back and you start setting up and of course you had your family's support, but what were the initial challenges that you had no idea you would face, like the most unthinkable things that you faced?
I mean, you know, so this is the funny thing about challenges. I always ask people, how much time do I have to talk about all of them? Because it was just like, it was like going to war, like going to work every day, like, and I was so young and so inexperienced and so like righteous. I just come back from living in Europe and I was like, no, this is not the way you do things. My father was like, give it 3 months, you learn how things are done in India. So it was just like, I think everything was a lesson and I was trying to do everything. So I was being the pastry chef, I was, you know, trying to market it. I didn't understand what I was doing. I just knew that this is my business and I need to run it. Like today you see like, oh, PR and marketing and this, and I was just doing whatever it took to whatever I logically understood to do. Being young and being a young girl was, you know, the biggest challenge. Everywhere I went, people always wanted to meet my father. If I wanted to rent a property, if I wanted to buy machinery, just like being, you know, no one took you seriously. And I mean, that hasn't changed. Like, okay, now obviously suppliers and all of that is sorted. But even for this space, when I wanted to sign it, I had to get my head of operations, who's an older gentleman. And the landlord kept talking to him and not to me. And eventually he asked him, like, I have angrily in that meeting said, can you please address me? Because he's like, wait, who's going to sign the checks? And said, it's my money. It's my checks, you know? And I think that it's, you know, so it's this business kind of, you know, you're working with people that don't see the potential that young girls have or what they can do. And you're constantly fighting that. And, you know, you would hope that it would become easier. In one way it has, but in other ways it stays the same.
Kaina sounded really grateful for her experiences.
You're dealing with government institutions, you're dealing with landlords. There's a whole different world to it. And the food actually just begins to form a small part of it, which we didn't understand, right? Because for me, being a chef, it was always about just the food. It still is in many ways. Like, you know, I've been very fortunate that within my family, we had the capabilities of handling all the other parts of the business. When we started, my sister's a chartered accountant, my father has run his own businesses, so he knew what it entailed to get licenses and speak to the government, and my mom, well, she's been able to fend off, you know, everyone who tried to attack us in any way, and she's just been like a driving force, like a big, the rock of the family, really. And this environment therefore allowed me to just be in the kitchen and not having to think about 100 other things. Of course, not all the time. We all pitched in, we all helped out in every way we could. But for the large part of it, I was allowed to, and I'm still allowed to be in the kitchen. And that, I think, was really important to carry the product forward, to evolve the product, to realize what our strengths are and what we do well and what we don't. All this has been a learning curve. I think, of course, we have seen very tough times where, overnight, 4 days before Diwali, we've been told to vacate our kitchen overnight because the landlord had gone into cohorts. He had lost his case. He had lost the property. He didn't tell us. He took the whole year rent up front. And we literally, our oven and my team were on the road one afternoon because, some officers came and said, get out of here. You'll have 3 hours to get out of here. And we were in peak season, nothing to sell. But, you know, God has been kind because in these tough times, the neighborhood, the whole community has come forward and helped us. That made me happy. That's what I love, to have the power to make people happy. It's a superpower, you know.
Well, clearly these ladies love what they do despite the obstacles they've overcome. And now that business is banging, what is it that they make that folks just can't get enough of? In Kainaz's case, she has it all worked out down to a science.
So when I make a recipe or when I adjust a recipe or when I decide on a product, it is a product that I have tasted several times over. It's a product that I love and it's a product that I want to make. So if I look at all the top sellers, it's just that. It's the dense chocolate cake, which is a simple, in essence, it's your grandma's old chocolate cake. So it's just a baked chocolate cake with nothing, no icing, nothing. It's the brownies. Again, simple butter, chocolate, sugar, flour, you know, and nuts or whatever topping you want. And that's what it is. It's all the simple stuff. Pineapple fresh cream cake. You'll probably find pineapple fresh cream cake only in Irani bakeries or bakeries that, you know, that are doing really traditionally old stuff. But at Theoroma, we sell a pineapple cake, but we make sure that we don't sell it with any nasty stuff. We put real ingredients into it. So if we are making a pineapple cake, it'll be not be made with just tin chopped pineapple, it'll be made with a pineapple compote, and it'll be made with real stuff like real dairy cream and not fake soya cream that everybody uses. So that's what we aim to do.
And as for Neha?
So if you ask any SHM fan, like 99% of them are going to say, is Nutella sea salt? And honestly, our sales of Nutella sea salt versus everything else is just, you know, it's Nutella sea salt and then the rest of our cookies, literally.
Across the board.
Yeah, across the board.
It's, even in Calcutta, it's the same.
Even in Calcutta also, yes, the... You know, in fact, they're actually, interestingly, our cakes on Sundays are doing much better than the cookies themselves, right? So they like, so they want their cookies with ice cream, or they want the waffle sundae, or they want the smuggler. So they are more indulgent. I guess that's why it's the city of sweets. Like, they really indulge in their sweets. So the sundaes are doing much better. The cakes are doing much better, more than Bombay.
And Pooja reveals something hilarious.
So, you know, I keep doing these specials and putting them, you know, online or something. So two of them, actually. One is I did a cheesecake special. Mm-hmm. And people just kind of... I am amazed by how people love cheesecake. Like, it's crazy. So the cheesecake was one of them. And we're actually bringing back the cheesecake collection next week. It's launching in the stores again because it's just like we need to have it. So we're doing miniature sizes of everything and you can order a big cake. And the second thing is like, so on social media, like I just, you know, make things and I put it up and people, I see how people react and if they want to buy it. So one day I was PMSing and I wanted to have this cake. You know, I have these really specific cravings. So I made this cake with like dark chocolate and I tried not to put like too much sugar. I made it gluten-free. And you know, it was just, and it was one of the best cakes I think that I've just put together. And I put a picture of it and just said, you know, I was PMSing, I made this cake. And the number of orders I got for my PMS cake, I was just like, this, I just called it, it's on the menu as PMS cake. And it's just like, I'm like, this is amazing, because now they're going to order it every month. It's like done, you know, I'm sorted. But that PMS cake is amazing.
Oh my god.
So it's no secret that their fans are legion and that they adore everything coming out of their bakeries. But when it comes to future plans, what are these creators of decadent delicacies brewing? Well, Pooja gave us some very exciting news.
Something that I'm really excited about is we have two new things coming up. We have a new property called the Petite Café, which is like a smaller version of our café, which we're opening for in the next few months, very soon. Which is why we have the space now. And we're starting All India Macaroon deliveries. So you can sit in Pune or Delhi or Bangalore and order from us in Bombay. Wow. So that's the model that we've been working on, which is launching very soon. And you're the first people to hear about it.
And Neha of Swedish House Mafia made us even happier with this news.
Opening up new outlets?
Yes, Bangalore. Kolaba is opening next week, hopefully.
Okay.
Yeah.
And any new cookies that are coming on?
Yes, actually, we are doing a chocolate walnut, which is coming out also next week. And there is something very interesting out, which is we haven't started marketing it yet, but it is there in all our stores. We have come out with our own cookie premix, which is really, really awesome, really easy to make.
So you can make the cookies at home?
Yes, you can. And all you need is butter, which everyone has, and either egg or an egg replacement, which is written in the instructions, which is very easily available at home. So super easy to make. In fact, I have like 4-year-olds making it. It's that easy.
Kainaz, on the other hand, actually left us with some food for thought.
The like food is always evolving. That's the great thing about food, right? It's always evolving. It's always changing. Like, for example, when we started, eggless desserts were around, but it was a very niche thing, and it was definitely something that I was not interested in doing. Okay, but I had to do it. Today at Theobroma, we have an extensive range offering eggless desserts because that's what your guests want. And I don't think I have reached that stage yet with veganism and gluten-free cakes where there is no other choice but for me to only make these cakes. I think people still want the comforting desserts and they still want the real stuff, and that's great. And as long as they want it, I will make that. When they really demand, whatever the new age desserts are, I'll switch to that. Otherwise, I won't.
Brownies, tarts, and cakes and bakes. Bakeries that know the way to make the real kind of cookies and crazy macarons. Don't you know it's such a sweet life with these pastries?
You've been listening to the Metro Food Hoppers podcast with me, Simona Terran. Tune in next week to hear me chat with folks who work hard behind the scenes, creating mouth-watering delights without worrying about the name, fame, or the glory. Find out why they don't give a damn that many restaurants pass off their delicious food as their own and steal the credit. Catch you next Thursday. And if you've enjoyed listening to what I just had to share in this episode, don't forget to show the podcast some love on social media and or the website and app.